Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like this. Jed Marshall had said on Twitter earlier this week he'd been inspired to pick some new intro music, bumper music. Started out yesterday on Sports Saturday with some good stuff. What is this? This is
a band. What band? I don't know. This is a group called Fort Knox 5. The song's called Blowing Up the Spot. This one's not new, though.
Okay.
I didn't have enough time last night. I was too busy losing money.
Maybe I just haven't heard this one in a while.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite ones.
Good stuff. I like this. It is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I am your studio host, Brad Porter. Follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Just like it sounds, at Brad K. Porter. No extra letters, no strange vowels. Jed Marshall is producing here at the Rally House Studios. Jed, your Twitter handle is?
At JedRowe24.
At JedRowe24. And I was thinking about this on the drive in. By the way, people driving in the pouring rain without your headlights on at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're not good people. It's dangerous for you. It's dangerous for me. There was a car, it was black, driving without the headlights on, pouring rain, and literally could not see it until he tapped his brake lights. And it's this is the old man, get off my lawn thing to start. And I was like, okay, somebody who's not paying attention, because there are people who still text and drive, which I don't understand. I don't pick up my phone in the car. Somebody's going to be texting and driving or on their phone or looking at some deer who just came out of the woods or a dog or a squirrel running across the street. They're not going to see you because you don't have your headlights on in the pouring rain. So please be considerate of your fellow drivers. And that's where I'm going to end that discussion. That's the get off my lawn moment. So I was thinking about this also, driving through the pouring rain. Going back to the first week of April, how many weekends have we had in the last 2 months where we've had snow or rain during the show? Because the first three weekends in April, we had snow. We had a couple of good weekends before this. We've had, you know, bright sunshine, good day. We had the back doors of the patio open here at the studio.
Wow.
But it's raining again.
Five of seven?
Five of seven, yeah.
Maybe?
It's quite a bit.
Does that sound right?
I'd go with that, yeah. About 85%, 80%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least we're inside.
Yeah. Well, we've got a good show lined up for you now that I've had my get off my lawn moment. 9:25, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is going to join us with the rookie minicamps over and OTAs coming up. We'll kind of get an update, a feel for what's going on at the Arrowhead practice facility where Matt Derrick basically lives. And I used to work with Matt back in the day at another company, but he's got ChiefsDigest.com now, and he does a great job at doing that. At 10 o'clock, we're going to kick around a number of different topics. We'll talk a little Sporting KC. We'll talk Royals. We'll mix in a little bit of everything at 10 o'clock, kind of an open-ended hour. We'll have discussion. At 11 o'clock, our good friend Kurt Heelan will join us from NBCSports.com. He covers the NBA, does a great job. Follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. I know there's a lot of NBA fans in Kansas City and across the Midwest, and we'll get into maybe what Jared Sutton had to tweet out earlier this week about maybe the NBA considering Kansas City and Sprint Center and also the city of Seattle. So Kurt Heelan is a really good follow on Twitter if you're into the NBA. Does a great job of covering the regular season and the playoffs, and then we'll have the draft coming up. So that's at 11. At 11:30, Josh Briscoe is going to join us before he starts with about 11:30, before he takes over with baseball tonight at noon, getting ready for the Royals and Yankees series finale at Kauffman Stadium. And when Josh Briscoe comes in, we never know where the discussion is going. I'm going to throw out Royals baseball, and he's going to say Pontiac Sunfire, and we'll start talking about cars. It'll go 100 different directions. And I like that. We had a lot of fun last week with Josh. So we'll do that around 11:30. I also want to say thanks to the folks from the Tasty Expo. which is going on at the Overland Park Convention Center. They had us out yesterday for a live remote. And
is it today, too?
I'm not sure. I think it was just yesterday.
Damn.
But, I'll have to check on that. I didn't check. But they had us out yesterday for the remote, and they had like 150 food vendors and cooks and chefs and drink vendors, all the vodka companies and the local wineries and things. And so you got in and you were able to eat and drink all day long for a very low price. So the Tasty Expo folks, thank you very much for having us out there. That was a really good time. So we'll kind of kick off our discussion a little bit. We don't really have to get deep into Royals baseball. They lost 8-3. Danny Duffy was not good again. We'll get into that a little bit. But I kind of wanted to start out with all the pictures I saw on Twitter yesterday of the reunion celebration. The Royals are celebrating their 50-year anniversary, and they've had various players from the past come in on different weekends to have party and celebrate, pose for pictures. But last night, they had a very, here's your 50-cent word, they had a very august group of Royals alumni. George Brett was there, Pine Tar, bobblehead, good stuff. Willie Wilson was there. I consider Willie Wilson a friend, worked with him in television for many years at Metro Sports. Frank White was there, another Hall of Famer, worked with Frank in television as well. Brett Saberhagen, Royals Hall of Famer. Dennis Leonard, Royals Hall of Famer. Lou Piniella was there, and I had not seen Lou since he probably stopped managing. And when I looked at the photo, I had to ask somebody, who is this guy standing with the other Royals? Because he's svelte. He's lost some weight. He looks good. But Sweet Lou was there, rookie of the year for the Royals, and then traded. Oh, man, what could have been if Lou Piniella would have stayed in a Royals uniform? But that's okay. Became a great part of the Royals-Yankees rivalry over the years. Amos Otis was there. And A.O. has come back a few times over the last few years. He, for a long time, Amos Otis would not come back. There were some hard feelings about the way his exit from the Royals was engineered. But he has been more accommodating in recent years and coming back. So A.O. was there. But here's the picture that really hit home with me, because it goes back to the beginning of my career in television some 20-something years ago at Metro Sports. So there's a photo, one group photo, Johnny Damon, Carlos Beltran, Jermaine Dye. And then there was another photo where Mike Sweeney was also standing there, and I didn't see Joe Randa. I really wanted to see Joe Randa there. But the three outfielders, Johnny Damon, Carlos Beltran, Jermaine Dye. At the beginning of my professional broadcasting career in television, those were the three monster players. And some have called it the greatest outfield in Royals history. And I'm on board with that. I'm on board with that. Now, Amos Otis, Willie Wilson, I can't remember if Al Cowens was still there when all three of them were there, but you can make that argument. But Johnny Damon, Carlos Beltran, Jermaine Dye. And I felt really good seeing those guys back all together. And I'll tell you, and Jed, you can weigh in as well. I know you watched all these guys. Johnny Damon means a lot to me because we're almost the same age. And he got to the majors basically when I started in television. And when we would go to spring training at Baseball City in Florida, I would, talk to the guys in the clubhouse. But since Johnny and I were about the same age, I always felt more comfortable being able to sit down and just shoot the breeze with Johnny about whatever. It didn't have to be about baseball, music, or life, or where we're going tonight, or whatever. Because back then, you could still hang out with the players because there was no social media, and there was going to be no jackass media guy tweeting, I saw Bill Phelps down at the Blue Lagoon or whatever, pounding brewskis. That didn't happen.
That sounds like Bill Phelps, though.
Yeah, that typical Bill Phelps behavior for anybody who knows Bill Phelps. Imaginary character I just made up. But that was not going to happen back in the day when I used to go to spring training in Baseball City. We could hang out with the players, go out and have a couple of, beverages, and no one was going to say anything. There was no tweeting. There was no Facebooking. And no one was going to say anything anyway. Can't do that now. That's not going to happen because there's going to be some jackass in the media that thinks he's going to make his career by tweeting out something he saw in public. The only thing I would ever tweet out about a player in public is he stopped to sign autographs for five people or take a couple of pictures, and what a swell person he was for doing that. But Johnny Damon was that guy, came up same time I started in television. I got along with him really well. Super nice guy. And ridiculously athletically gifted, if I can put those three words together. Okay, you want to rag on his outfield arm? It wasn't the best. But go out and try to throw a ball from the center field wall at Kauffman Stadium and tell me how good you do. It's not easy. It's not easy. Alex Gordon and Jermaine Dye made it and make it look easy. Johnny Damon's swing, though, even with that top hand flying off the bat, which used to drive me crazy because when you try to teach your kids how to bat, don't let your top hand fly. Always top hand flying off the bat. But it worked for Johnny. He almost got to 3,000 hits. Almost. And I think he really tried to stick it out at the end of his career and try to get there, and it just wasn't going to happen. And so now he's a fringe guy for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Fringe guy. It's going to be a close vote. He'll probably make a couple of ballots, and then we'll have to see from there, and depending on how crowded the club is for that year. But Johnny Damon, just love seeing him. Carlos Beltran, the most gifted all-around player I ever covered. And it's easier to single out the guy who plays center field and routinely hits 300 and steals 30-plus bases and hits in the 20s in home runs and is a switch hitter. Those are a lot of very good qualities. But Carlos Beltran did it better than anybody I have ever covered. And it was a treat every day to go to the ballpark for free as a member of the media and watch Carlos Beltran's career explode into one of the best all-around players in the history of the game. He's a Hall of Famer. First ballot? I don't know. I don't get to vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is he a first ballot guy? I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer? Absolutely. I have no doubt about that. Carlos Beltran's a Hall of Famer.
He got the ever-important ring, which...
Got the ring.
Granted, it was late in his career, his last season, but I think that'll push him over the top because he didn't quite get to 3,000 hits.
Right.
His counting number stats are insane.
They're ridiculous. And a switch hitter. To be that proficient from both sides of the plate.
And I've never seen anyone glide in the outfield like he did.
Yeah.
He didn't ever... The complaint was, I don't know, Soren talks about how people would say that he didn't ever look like he was trying.
He didn't have to. He was so natural.
Right, yeah. A guy who can run under control and make those kind of catches, it was insane. And Johnny Damon, back to your point, was a great guy. My buddies who were clubbies, it was even after he left and went to Oakland. He came back into town. He's still at his house here and took my buddy who he worked with to, I think they went and saw either the Chili Peppers or Pearl Jam. But yeah, they had a blast.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. Love hearing stories like that. And again, that was back in the day when you could do that a little more. And clubbies have a different relationship
sure.
to the players. But from my perspective, the media could hang out with the players at the time. But Carlos Beltran, he got the ring at the end of his career. But ask every player on that Astros roster how much of an impact he had on that team. And they had a ceremony when it was basically determined he was no longer going to play the outfield because his knees had been pretty much shot, and he was only going to DH or pinch hit the rest of the season. They had a ceremony in Houston where they buried his outfielder's glove in the outfield. They had like a funeral procession and a headstone for his glove. And some guys, if you're as talented as Carlos Beltran and as respected as Carlos Beltran with a potential Hall of Fame in your future, guys like that could be a real red ass about it and say, this is embarrassing, guys. You're embarrassing me. He took it like one of the guys and just, hey, I understand. I'm done playing the outfield. Let's go win a World Series, guys.
What's the old Nate story that he tried to, like, Carlos Beltran tried to give Nate his monkey or something? Have you heard that one?
I've heard a lot of Nate stories. That may be. I would totally believe that.
I think that was when Nate was covering him every day, but
yeah.
I can't remember offhand. Nate, if you're listening, call in the backdoor number.
I would totally believe that. But Carlos Beltran, when he was in his last year, we all knew he was in the last year with the Royals. We all knew he was going to get traded. He knew he was going to get traded. Everybody in the clubhouse, everybody knew. So it was a few weeks before the trade deadline, and we were on a road trip, and Nate was probably traveling at the time as well, but I was traveling with the Royals, and I really wanted to get a good final interview with Carlos Beltran. And he's a super good dude. He was not difficult or anything like that. And so when I was traveling, when I was on the TV crew, they would give me a camera, and I would go do interviews by myself in the clubhouse. Well, I wanted to get something good with Carlos in Minnesota, and this is when they still played in the Metrodome. And I asked Carlos, I said, hey, sometime before the game, would you come down to the dugout and do the interview? If you're familiar with the old Metrodome or not familiar, it was an awful place to play baseball. And to get from the clubhouse down to the dugout and back was it was a journey. It required going down a flight of stairs that was probably 300 steps. It was unpleasant. It was an unpleasant place to be. It was unpleasant to watch. But I said, would you mind taking a few minutes down to the dugout? He said, sure. So I'm by myself. We go down to the dugout. He sits down. I get my camera. I get it all focused, get the light lined up. And I've got this microphone that's just a ridiculous microphone. I don't want to go into the details. But I had to stretch it out. And I asked Carlos, I said, hey, since I'm here by myself, would you mind holding the microphone? A lot of ball players, well, not a lot, some ball players would laugh in your face and say, I'm not holding the microphone. That's not my job. Carlos said, absolutely, I'll do that for you. And Carlos Beltran did that. We had a great interview. At least I thought it was. I'm sure for Carlos it was just another interview. But he was very generous with his time, not only with the media, but with kids who would come in for different charity events and things like that. And Carlos was just one of the best. So it was great seeing him at the ballpark last night. And Jermaine Dye. I haven't got into Jermaine Dye. Best right field arm I've ever seen. He led the American League in outfield assists, I believe, a couple of times while he was with the Royals. Also had good power, good batting stroke, and a good right fielder. For a right fielder, you don't have to be the fastest guy in the world, but you have to be the guy who can chase the ball into the corner and make an accurate throw to second base or third base. And if you have to hit a relay guy, you better be able to hit the relay guy. We know what happened when Matt Stairs hit Ken Harvey in the back in San Diego on the 4th of July. We know what that looks like. Of course, that was Ken Harvey's fault for not looking in the outfield. We know what that looks like. But if you're playing with Jermaine Dye, you better be lined up. Because if he doesn't hit the second baseman either on the fly or on a bounce, he's going to hit the relay guy. He's going to be accurate. And you're going to get somebody out. And Jermaine Dye had the best right field arm I've seen in person. In person, covering on a day-to-day basis, Jermaine Dye, best right field arm. I didn't see Al Collins growing up. I've always heard he was great. But Jermaine Dye, the best. And Jermaine Dye was also another guy, just like Johnny Damon, just like Carlos Beltran, generous with his time, always accommodating to the kids. The Dream Factory kids would come in all the time. Larry Moore from Channel 9 would bring in the kids. They would all make sure to make a stop. So those three guys, I just love seeing that picture. I don't know what's going on with Johnny Damon's hair, by the way. If I got to say one negative, he has some kind of it's not a faux hawk, and it's not a mohawk. It's like a front hawk. It's like a wisp in the front with shaved hair on the sides. I don't know what's going on with that.
What was the guy from Saturday Night Live that Martin Short played?
Oh, Ed Grimley.
Is it like that?
But shaved down. And looks like it probably cost $300 to get done.
Well, I don't doubt that, but it sounds awful. Do you know the best part about this segment, Brad? That we've actually avoided talking about the Royals on
about
the field performance
game.
From
about
last
the actual
night.
Game.
I've enjoyed sharing old stories about, yes. You know, the good players that were here and then
yes.
left.
There were pictures all over Twitter last night. Right. It made me feel good about the guys that I covered at the beginning of my career. We're all back together. Those outfield guys were all back together. And then Mike Sweeney was there as well. And Mike's a great guy. He comes back all the time. I don't know if he's still a special assistant in the front office, but I know he's back all the time. And Mike's a great guy. And I love talking to Mike whenever he comes back. And the only guy from that era that I did not see in a picture last night was Joe Randa. And Joe may have been there. I didn't see him in the group photo that was taken on the field. And I know he's got kids who play college baseball and high school baseball. So I'm sure Joe coaches all the time as well. So Joe may have not been able to make it. So I guess we do have to talk about the actual game, which was not fun. Royals lost 8-3 to the Yankees after winning on Friday night, so the series is split. But Danny Duffy's struggles continue. 4 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks, and it took him 95 pitches to get through those 4 innings in which he was tagged for 5 runs. And straight up honest guy, answered all the questions after the game. It's not going well. Got to figure it out. All those kinds of things. And people want to, you know, you want to hammer Danny Duffy. I saw a tweet from Josh Briscoe last night, and he tweeted out that, you know, at least Danny Duffy puts a human face on what's happening when a player struggles. Doesn't run and hide. I know guys. I covered guys who run and hide when things aren't going well. And baseball teams make it easier now because they put their dining area and workout areas in faraway places where players can go hide when the media comes in. You don't have to answer questions. That's not my point. Danny Duffy answers the questions. And it hurts to see him struggle like this because he takes it personally, which he should. It's his job. He gets paid very well to do it. But he's the guy who's Barry Mia Royal. He's the guy who signed the contract because he wants to be here. He's the guy in the offseason when the trade talks were going on. Maybe Danny Duffy's available and the Royals may be dangling Danny Duffy out there, and Danny was there on Twitter. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be here. So when he struggles and he's supposed to be the ace in your rotation, it kind of hurts to see that. And that's happening. And we'll talk more about that later in the show as well. We got a break coming up, but I'll give you a quick review of Impractical Jokers last night. I'm going to skew totally off baseball and totally off sports here. If you watch the TV show Impractical Jokers, then you're kind of like me. You're stuck as a career teenager somewhat. My kids love it. My kids love Impractical Jokers. And basically, the basic premise of the show is these four guys go to a random public spot, grocery store, public park, shopping mall, and they wear earpieces, and the other three guys will challenge one of them to go do or say stupid things to random people and see how they react to it. A little bit like Candid Camera or Punk'd, a little bit kind of an amalgamation of those shows. So my kids think they're hilarious. So we went to the show last night at Starlight. Sold out! Sold out Impractical Jokers at Starlight. And on the tickets it says, this is for people 16 and older, which it lived up to. They worked blue, if you know the old term, worked blue. Language was a little colorful. Jokes were a little, they were adult-oriented, so to speak. But I thought they did a great job. I didn't know how they would translate their TV show to a live stage show, but it was basically like four guys doing stand-up comedy where they rip on each other and make jokes about each other and hammer each other nonstop. And then they would show a couple of clips from upcoming shows. But I thought if you knew what to expect going in, you know, Impractical Jokers are, it's immature, it's teenage comedy, it's a little colorful. If you knew what it was going in, you knew what to expect, great show, guys. And I'm sure they're not awake right now because I'm sure they had a few beverages, which I detected was going on during the show, but that's okay. That's all right. But great job if you're with the Impractical Jokers crew who's in Kansas City this weekend. Great job. Loved it. Fantastic. And a great crowd, too. The crowd was into it, so good show. And we got one more. I was going to sneak in one more topic, but we've got to take a break here so we can get Matt Derrick on. Later on in the show, let's do this in the 10 o'clock hour. We've got a wide open hour. We'll break down Jed Marshall's poker skills. Jed was in a poker game last night. I don't think it went all that well. Cody Tapp was involved. I think maybe I shouldn't be naming names, but not Cody. I saw Cody at Tasty Expo yesterday with his daughter, who's just you cannot see Cody's daughter and not smile.
Yeah, she's a cute little girl.
Yeah, she's funny. So we'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is going to join us. We're cutting that dead period between we've had the draft, we've had the rookie workouts, and OTAs are coming up. So we're kind of in that in-between period right now. So Matt Derrick is going to join us. We'll fill in the blanks until OTAs get going. So we'll do that next. Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is producing. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. A rainy Sunday morning. I think it stopped for a few minutes, but it's supposed to be coming back. No, it's still raining. Okay, Jed's looking out the window. Jed Marshall's producing here in the Rally House Studios. Follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Follow Jed Marshall as well. Good stuff. Also follow Matt Derrick, at Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, who joins us now. Talk a little Chiefs football. Matt Derrick, it's raining. How's everything up in Liberty?
Raining. I can confirm. Raining. Rain is confirmed.
Well, Gary Lezak from 41 Action News, when he's on the Border Patrol every morning with Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez, always says the most important thing about understanding the weather is to go outside and look up. So confirm it is raining.
Confirmed it is raining. And, well, know, most people don't care for rain on the weekend, but you know what? Rain on the weekend means one day I don't have to do yard work.
Yes.
So I'm all on board.
Well, and I had to, I'm sure Jed was up early, you're up early, I was up at 6, and the bad thing about rain on the weekend for me is it's nice, it's dark, it's cool, and I just want to sleep.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the kind of day that you just want to leave bed till dude.
That's right. All right, Matt, talking a little Chiefs football here. We're kind of in the dead period between the draft and rookie workouts and then the upcoming OTAs. So let me start you out with this. We've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about the Supreme Court ruling that now says that it's up to the individual states to decide whether or not they want to legalize sports gambling. It's no longer just restricted to Nevada and a couple of other places that were grandfathered in. I never understood the law anyway. I thought it was unconstitutional for the United States Congress and the Senate to tell the states, okay, Nevada, you're allowed to do this, but the rest of you cannot do it. And I equated it to, let's use Michigan, since that's where a lot of cars are manufactured. That would be like the Senate saying, well, cars are only manufactured in the state of Michigan, so only people in Michigan can drive and own cars. The rest of you have to walk or use horse and buggies. I never understood the law, but it's going to have an effect on every sport, including pro football and the Chiefs, and probably what you do in terms of covering football. At ChiefsDigest.com, are you looking at ways to cover sports gambling?
Yeah, I mean, and especially I think it's going to be a noteworthy and newsworthy, obviously, issue over the next couple of years as this gets implemented. I mean, you know, Missouri and Kansas both have bills before their legislatures right now that would legalize it. It looks like it's going to be very difficult for either state to take any action this year because their sessions are over. They'd have to have a special session to come in to approve anything this year, and it looks like that's not going to happen. So, you know, we're probably looking until next year until both those states can really get the ball rolling as far as you're approving anything. But there's so many other, you know, moving issues with this and everything. And the big one to me that I think is going to be the most fascinating and the one to really talk about is the players wanting a piece of the pie. You know, we know that, you know, obviously even the states have been trying to carve out a niche because of lobbying from the sports leagues to say, hey, we're going to set aside, you know, money for the teams and everything because, hey, it's, The gambling would not exist without the teams, and the teams want their cuts. Say, hey, if you're going to use our team name, use our nicknames, or our likenesses, and everything like this, we want to cut the pie. And the players are the exact same way. And they, if you want to be able to bet on how many yards Patrick Mahomes passes over and under, he wants a cut, and that absolutely makes sense. And, you know, we saw this week in Indiana, the sports leagues, all of the players' associations filed a brief there about wanting to be able to carve out a niche for players and have a payment due to them. And that's the thing. I mean, that's where the fight's going to be, is that everybody's going to want a cut of this pie.
Here's where, and we're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, who joins us on the Sprint guest line here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's my problem with that, Matt. And look, I see both. When there's money to be made, everybody's got a handout. Here's my problem. I have many problems with it. Here's a couple of problems with it. The NFL and Major League Baseball spent millions of dollars arguing against this sort of thing in the court, all the way up to the Supreme Court. Millions of dollars in lawyer fees. All the way up there saying this is awful. This will hurt the integrity of the game. This is wrong. This is terrible, even though they do it in Las Vegas and the whole state of Nevada. So they argued this all the way to the Supreme Court, spent millions of dollars on it. Supreme Court says, no, we're going to let everybody do it. Oh, well, now we want our cut of the pie. I don't know if that was just where they – was it to borrow the lyrics from the old song by The Who, Eminence Front? Was it an Eminence Front? I'm going to pretend to be against it until a court says it's okay, and then I've got my hands out. And I'm sure they're going to do that. The 1% is ridiculous. That's not going to happen in any state house that approves of a 1% take. They should all be voted out because that's just ridiculous. My other problem with it, whether it's the owners, the commissioners, or the players with the hands out, they don't have any risk. The casinos or the betting parlors or wherever you do your gambling, they assume all the risk on the wins and the losses. The gamblers assume all the risks of their bets. What's the risk that Pro Sports League and players are taking in gambling?
Well, I would probably be at least a little bit in the, you know, the wary group that would say that the leagues do have an upside risk as to, you know, once this becomes more prevalent, once this is nationwide, they do have an upside risk of having the integrity of the sports compromised. You know, I think that even though I think a lot of people poo-poo, you know, the notion of it and everything and say that if players want to bet now, they can and everything. And that's absolutely true. But, you know, I think that, you know, we look back at the history of sports and especially, you know, even just contemporary American sports, is that it is possible and very likely that if you have more widespread gambling and you have this is out there, that there's absolutely going to be a greater opportunity for gambling interest, whether it's organized or not, to be able to compromise sports. I mean, it's happened too many times. I mean, we've had the history of the World Series that's happened. College basketball was absolutely decimated by a gambling scandal and point-shaving scandal in the 50s. And, you know, I think that's absolutely going to be a greater fear. I mean, you get players who, you know, maybe they start gambling, they get into debt, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for them to clear their debts by shaving points. And you know, is there a greater chance of it happening going forward than there is now? I think absolutely. I mean, I think there's absolutely a chance that some things can happen. So I think the leagues do have some upside risk there. But, you know, hey, I'm a marketing guy, so I understand.
Right,
that
I got
see,
you.
And I see the aspect, hey, if you want to be able to use the Kansas City Chiefs name, that's mine. If I'm the Chiefs, that's mine. And if you want to use it to be able to make money, I absolutely should be able to pay a licensing fee for that.
All right, and I'm sure that this is why it's going to be difficult to get gambling passed in either Missouri or Kansas. It will pass at some point. I'm going to guarantee you that. If I'm going to wager on something, I'm going to wager on the fact that sports gambling will be legal in Missouri or Kansas and Kansas at some point. It's going to happen because one thing politicians like more than themselves is money and revenue streams, and they see the green, and it's going to happen. So I get that. And one thing, and when I talk about everybody's going to have their hands out, I'm including myself there because I'm going to have gambling people on the show. I'm absolutely going to do that. And I normally on the weekends, those weekend national shows, they have those prepaid advertising. Call Mike in Philadelphia at 1-800-whatever. And I'm going to talk about gambling for an hour but not tell you anything. You got to call my 800 line. Those shows stink. Saran Petro has the right idea. He gets on, you know, like Fat Jack, and those guys actually give you something that you can use. I'm going to try to make money off that, and so are all the gambling lines and the phone lines, and I'm sure you will at ChiefsDigest.com find a way to monetize it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That stuff is absolutely going to explode because, you know, now the audience for those in Kansas City, say, for instance, the audience for that kind of thing is mostly people who just want to know about, you know, whether their team's going to win, you know, what the chances are and everything like this. When you're able to be able to have people who go out and bet on the weekend or bet on you know, any night of the week and everything to go bet on an NBA game or Major League Baseball game, it's you're going to change the audience. I mean, now there's going to be thousands of people who can be listening to that than going out and placing bets that day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's completely going to change the, you know, the market. I mean, you're right. Once this goes through and you've got gambling in these states, the advertising is going to go through the roof. So, you know, TV, radio, newspapers, websites are going to be able to benefit from that. It's going to change a lot of things. I mean, don't get it wrong. I mean, I think the sports landscape is going to look a lot differently 5 years from now, once this is more widespread.
And I'll just give you a final note. We will actually talk Chiefs football here because that's your primary job. But we had Jan Kessinger, who's a Kansas State House representative for the 20th District, Overland Park, Leawood. He was on the show yesterday, and he said, you know, their session's already over in Kansas. He's pushing forward a bill. They might be able to take it up in January, but there might not be a final vote until July. And then you got to get the logistics and the infrastructure in place to actually do the gambling and work with the lotteries and things like that. So it will be a while, but I'm confident it's going to happen. All right, how about Chiefs football, Matt Derrick?
We're
in this strange period between the, you know, the rookie workouts and the draft, and then we don't have the regular OTAs until I believe June is when they start up. So it's kind of a boring period, but there's still cuts being made and signings being made. And I know Nuñez Rochez posted that emotional video last week when he got cut and Akeem Hunt's been cut. But it's just kind of the under-the-radar stuff going on right now.
Yeah, it's kind of quiet. Things do kick up this week. They do start the first round of OTA workouts do start this week, start on Tuesday. And then you've got the mandatory mini camp that is in June, like June 12th to the 14th.
I get my OTAs and my mini camps confused
they use the terminology is
right.
So confusing.
They're both the same, just one's required and one's not.
Exactly. And we're going to be unfortunately fans are going to lose out a little bit this next few weeks for the OTAs because in the past the Chiefs were one of the few teams that held out and were, you know, pretty courteous about being able to let the media cover all 10 of the off-season workouts that they have before the mini camp. And they're not required to do that. They're only required to open up one of every three of those practices. So that's what the Chiefs are doing this year. And a lot of that, you know, splashback from last year when they had some of the veterans who did not show up and they were really tired, especially Andy Reid was really tired of the questions every single day about why is so-and-so was not here, why is Justin Houston not here, where's Eric Berry? So instead of having all 10 practices open up where we get to talk to players and tell the fans what's happening and everything, now we get one practice a week. So that's all we're going to be open to us and everything and be able to discuss. So it's going to be a little bit different than past OTAs. You're not going to be able to get as much information what's going on. And I think that's a little, you know, obviously setback for fans who really love to hear what's happening every single day and be able to hear from the players. And you're just not going to get as much information this year.
We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, here on the Sprint Guest Line on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. Matt, I don't want to get you in too much trouble here with the Chiefs, but I'll say this. The NFL is maybe the best league in the world at self-inflicted wounds. Because the NFL, in general, not just the Chiefs, the NFL league-wide despises the media. And they think that the media is out to get them or to leak their secrets or to give one team a 0.00001% of an advantage because something was reported on after a practice. And I don't understand it because these aren't government secrets. Nobody's reinventing the wheel in the National Football League. When I go to spring training with the Royals, you can go in the clubhouse almost any minute of any day, and you can be on the field during workouts and cover everything. And they I've never had anybody from the Royals call me and say, you know, can you please not talk about that? They never say that. With the NFL and the Chiefs, it's a different story. And that's a shame because okay, selfishly as a media person, yes, I want to be there for every workout. But we have fans. The team has fans that want to know everything they can about the team. You have dedicated fans, season ticket holders, people who buy the jerseys and the jackets and the hats, and they go on the website and they soak up every piece of information. They just want to know. And when you cut that off, again, it's another self-inflicted wound by the National Football League.
I can't disagree, unfortunately. I mean, the paranoia that NFL teams have is just absolutely amazing.
It's off the charts. I've never seen – there's not another sport like it.
And I wasn't covering the team with during the Tida Haley and Scott Piola era, but I've been told that the paranoia during that time frame was higher than you could possibly imagine, and much higher than it is now. But at the same time, I mean – you know, there's still the jokes about how, you know, that you got to have the shades pulled down and, you know, in the building that overlooks the practice field. So, you know, people can't see what's going on out there if you got visitors that come into the office or anything. You know, and just limiting access and everything like this, you know, when they can. I mean, it is crazy. It absolutely is, because, you know, there's just not that much that could possibly happen. I mean, as far as, you know, if you're talking about just what media reports and everything, and even when they do open practices, there's still rules about what we can say and
right.
what we can't say. So, you know,
show me the story that led directly to a loss by a pro football team. You can't do it. And I'm not going to be I'm not going to hammer this much any longer, because it is what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's just what they're going to do. So let's do this. We'll have a clean break here, and we'll talk about the workouts coming up this week, what we can expect, and some of the new guys in with the Chiefs, and what we're going to look like moving forward. So, Matt, can you sit tight for 1 second?
Absolutely.
All right, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, joining us here on the Sprint Guest Line. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll have more with the upcoming workouts with the Kansas City Chiefs. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing, and we're live in the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and booming 50,000 watts across the Midwest. I'm your host, Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is producing here in the Rally House Studios. And Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is back with us on the Sprint Guest Line. Matt, workouts coming up this week at the Arrowhead Practice Facility. And as you mentioned, you're only allowed to cover one of the three practices. So what are we expecting this week? Is this simple walkthrough type stuff? Or is it shirts and shorts only? Is it shells? Is there any pad work? What are we expecting this week?
You know, I think they are allowed to wear shells at one point and everything. I don't think they're allowed to do it for all 10 practices. I have to check into the CBA to see about that. But these are mostly, you know, lighter workouts. I mean, they're not high intensity. It's really about just kind of getting started. I mean, this is when basically training camp and the season starts. This is when they start putting in the offense. They work on the defensive schemes. And really just start the work of getting the game plan in the process and everything. So, you know, you're not going to learn a whole lot. I mean, as far as, you know, just, you know, skill-wise, where some of the draft picks are or anything like this. You will get a sense and everything about, you know, which direction the offensive and defensive schemes are going to go, which I think we're going to see a little bit of tweaks on both sides. You'll get a sense of the depth chart and, you know, where guys line up and everything. But, you know, that's pretty much all you can learn at this time of year.
Will we see Patrick Mahomes wearing jorts at practice?
You know, if he's not, I will.
Okay.
I mean, I'm planning on wearing my jorts day one.
There you go.
I'm gonna go out there loud and proud, man.
Bold move, Cotton. When you get into these workouts, we know this from being there. Every play is on tape. Every player is on tape. Every move you make on a practice field is on tape and then broken down and all that sort of things. Can a player make or break a chance at making the roster over these next couple of weeks in these 10 workouts? Can they do something at least to improve their stock? Can they see their stock decline if they're seen on tape being lazy or not executing properly?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I always say, you know, that the players who have the most to gain really during this time are the guys who are on the bottom of the roster. I mean, you know, you look at guys who are just fighting to be able to make either the practice squad or maybe crack the 53. So, you know, you talk about guys like K-State's Byron Pringle, You know, you're talking about, you know, a lot of these undrafted free agents. They've got about, you know, 20-some-odd guys and everything like this who are, you know, rookies or early-round players, early-year players that, you know, are just kind of at the bottom of the roster. And this is their chance. I mean, if they prove that they can hustle, if they prove that they do every drill perfectly, if they can prove that they can handle who's lined up against them, that improves their chances. And, you know, I think the one thing for the players that can harden at this time of year is the depth chart. I mean, there's always opportunities to fight your way up during training camp and everything. But you come out of these 10 OTAs and these 3 mini camp practices, and you're going to have a depth chart. And it's not in ink, but it's going to be it's really hard to change the impressions after these first 13 practices by the time that you get to St. Joe. I mean, it's like I said, it's not set in stone, but it's really hard to claw your way up if you don't make an impression now.
We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, on the Sprint guest line here, talking Chiefs football as they get ready for workouts coming up this week. Got 10 practices over the next couple of weeks. When you look, obviously our focus, my focus would be on the Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce and all the new guys they've brought in, Sammy Watkins. And we're going to need to focus on defense, too, because there's a lot of new guys over there. But how much of the timing gets put in place over these 10 workouts on offense? Because we know Patrick Mahomes has worked out. I think he said he's worked out with every receiver and tight end over the offseason at one point, maybe not all together, but he's worked with all of them. How much of the timing is being put into place and being understood, or, you know, the unspokenness of it is put into place over these 10 practices?
You know, a ton. You know, and I even go back to last year. You look at the players who, you know, really excelled with Patrick Mahomes last year on the practice field during this time of year. And, you know, and there are guys who made a team and stuck around. I mean, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, he had some great plays with. Kerry Dieter, Marcus Kemp. I mean, you saw the chemistry with those 3 players and the offseason workouts last year at this time. And all 3 of those guys, hey, they stick around. I mean, they're still here and everything. And I think there's a big reason why is because of the relationship that they had with Holmes and the timing that they were able to get down. So, no, that's huge. And especially because you can do all the work you want to on a high school football field with your receivers. You can do everything you want to against air. But until you got a guy lined up against you, until you get these 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills, you know, it's not the same. And, you know, and you really can't get everything down until you've got a guy against you on the field.
I'll get your opinion on this, and I just got about 90 seconds left here. I have tempered my expectations on Patrick Mahomes, and I don't say that to be a downer, but the way I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes is this is going to be his first full season in the National Football League. If he makes, you know, if he screws up, if he makes a bunch of mistakes, I'm not going to be surprised by that at all. And I don't think it'll cost the Chiefs a spot in the playoffs because I think the rest of the team is just so talented. But I'm tempering my expectations. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro in year one. What is your approach going in watching Patrick Mahomes the second? Have you tempered your expectations to make sure that you don't, you know, get overhyped about it? Or how are you looking at it?
I probably have been the Debbie Downer of the Chiefs media corps on Mahomes from day one. And it's not because I don't see the talent or anything like this.
Exactly. Not saying that at all.
Do.
Yeah.
Not saying that at all. But I'm of the conservative approach that says that this takes time, especially to learn, you know, an Andy Reid offense. It takes time. I mean, and we've seen it in the past. So, you know, I think he's got a chance to go out there and put up some decent numbers. I think he could pass for a lot of yards. Could he break 4,000? Yeah, I think he's got a chance at that. You know, could he throw for 30 touchdowns? Maybe. Is he going to throw 6 interceptions like Alex Smith? I don't think so. I think that's going to go up. I mean, I think he's going to play extremely well, but I think he's going to make, you know, even though he's a second-year player, rookie mistakes, young player mistakes, and that's to be expected. And I know the Chiefs are expecting that. I mean, hey, this year they would love to win the division title again and make some noise in the playoffs, but if you ask them deep down in their hearts, they're circling 2019. That's the year that they think that they're going
to
peak.
Hey, Matt, I got to run. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, man.
All right, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, joining us on the Sprint guest line. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday from the Rally House Studios. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. Back right after this.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.